families. I'm Gary. You're Julius. Let's get some particulars and just get this over with, all right?
Particulars?
Yeah.
No matter what I tell you, you ain't gonna never know nothing about
me. Hey, listen. I ain't running any more of these 3-A-Days, okay?
Well, what I got to say, you really don't want to hear, because honesty ain't too high up on your people priority list, right?
Honesty? You want honesty? All right, honestly, I think you're nothing. Nothing but a pure waste of God-given talent. You don't listen to nobody, man. Not even Doc or Boone. Shiver push on the line every time, man. You blow right past them. Push them. Pull them. Do something. You can't run over everybody in this league. And every time you do, you leave one of your teammates hanging out to dry. Me in particular.
Why should I give a hoot about you? Huh? Or anybody else out there? You want to talk about a waste? You the captain, right?
Right.
Captain's supposed to be the leader, right?
Right.
You got a job?
I have a
job. You been doing your job?
I've been doing my job.
Then why don't you tell your white buddies to block for Rev better? Because they have not blocked for him worth a plug nickel, and you know it. Nobody plays, yourself included. I'm supposed to wear myself out for the team? What team? No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look out for myself, and I'm going to get mine.
See, man, that's the worst attitude I ever heard.
Attitude reflect leadership.
One of the great, great, great change agents that's, had an enormous impact nationally here in our country, a guy by the name of Reverend Martin Luther King. In fact, here's what he said. He said, one of the great tragedies of life is that men seldom bridge the gulf between practice and profession, between doing and saying. He goes on to say, on the one hand, we proudly profess noble principles, but on the other hand, we sadly practice the very antithesis of those principles. You know, that's really what we've been talking about through these last 3 weeks in the series Life Apps. We've been taking a look at the physicality of our spirituality and how we put words to certain things. We say we want to be a certain kind of person, and yet the weight of our actions don't follow our words. We don't practice what we say. And we're talking about closing the gap. How do we close the gap between what the kind of person I want to be and the person I actually am? And there's a physicality to that, and we've been realizing that, you know, application, it's actually the application. It's not just saying, hey, I believe or I want to do certain things. It's actually the application that makes all the difference. And so we're going to continue to look at this today, and we're going to look at specifically this theme of selfishness, and there is an app for that. And so I'm really excited that you've chosen to join us today. My name's Kurt, by the way. I'm a pastor around here, and whether it's your first time with us or you're here every week, we're just excited that you're here with us on this rainy Sunday morning. Probably not many other places better than being here today. So let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll get going. God, thank you that we can gather in this room. I thank you that when we gather here, that you meet us wherever we are. I mean, you know, regardless of our spiritual persuasion or spiritual background, you have a unique way of just helping meet us right where we're at. And today, God, I'm going to ask that as a result of our time in this dark room today, that you would help us to see things, to hear things maybe. We're going to be talking about selfishness. There's not many places in our culture that kind of go against that. You know, we're taught to look out for ourselves. We're taught to make sure we get what's coming to us, to protect ours. And yet, God, you have a different way. And so I'm going to ask that you would help us to grow in this application today, because when we grow, our marriages become better, our relationships become better, our work relationships, co-workers, everything in our lives actually goes to an entirely new place. So I just pray that you would help us to maybe see things that we have never seen today, God. I pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. You know, great scene there from the movie Remember the Titans. If you weren't familiar with that scene, you know, and I really want to hone in on that line where he says, hey, I'm looking out for myself. I'm taking care of mine. You know, that's the mantra of our society. That's the mantra of our culture. Hey, I don't know about you, but if I don't look out for myself, no one else is going to. And this begins to bleed over into multiple areas of our life. And generally speaking, Eric alluded to it a few minutes ago, I think generally speaking, the more and more I interact with people, the more and more I counsel people, more and more I meet with people who are really broken states in their lives, in their marriages, with addictions, whatever it might be, the more I'm just very aware that selfishness clearly is at the root of many of the issues we deal with today. I mean, you know, marriages that are struggling, usually there's a breach where someone began to look out for their own interests instead of the interests of their spouse, and the marriage begins to unravel. you know, in relationships with kids or coworkers, usually somewhere there's some kind of selfish behavior that's at the core, at the foundational level, at the root of relationships going south. You know, we look at the nationally at the history of our country over the last, 8, 10, 12 years, financially, you know, some of the things that have, created a bad economic condition for our country. You know, at the root of those episodes are selfishness. You know, somebody said, hey, I'm going to look out for my interests. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm not going to look at all at how my behavior, my actions actually impact others. And so today, we're going to look at one of the wisest individuals in the Bible, with the exception of Jesus. He's probably the wisest individual. But there's a guy by the name of Solomon, and there's two verses I want us to look at today. And these are the kind of verses that, you know, you can make pillars for your life. I mean, if you really want to make application, these are the kind of verses you want to memorize. These are the ones you want to begin to walk out on a regular basis. And he uses this word in here. I'm going to kind of give you a heads up. It's the word prudent. Now, we don't use the word prudent, right, very much, right? I mean, prudent, that's kind of like old school. Well, here's what prudent means, especially in the context of the Hebrew Old Testament. It's this idea that all life is connected, right? It's this idea that what happened yesterday is important today. It is this awareness that, you know, my past actually influences today. It's not just yesterday, but actually has something to do with what I'm experiencing today. And then the next thing that it connects for us is this idea that what happened yesterday actually is now in the past, but it's bound to show up in my present. And that's what it means to be prudent. When we're prudent, we understand those things. We actually understand that there's certain things that I did yesterday that actually point to the direction I'm going today. And so Solomon, in chapter 14 of Proverbs, he actually talks about this. And so here's what he says. He says, the wisdom of the prudent, there's our word right there, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Now let me tell you what ways are. Ways are behaviors. Ways are patterns. Ways are trends. Ways are pathways in our lives. Ways are the reason that if you're a student, your parents know exactly what you're going to do before you do it, because you have a way. Ways are the reason if you tell your wife or your husband something, they already know what you're going to do because they know your way. We have ways, and people can figure us out because we have ways. And what he's basically saying is a wise person gives attention to our ways, meaning the prudent person knows that the best predictor of tomorrow is actually looking at yesterday. A prudent person knows that if you want to know where I'm going to be in the future, just take a look at my past, because my past is my best predictor of where I'm going to be tomorrow. And so here's what Solomon goes on and says, is the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. And then he says, but the folly of fools is deception. Now, we don't use the word folly very often anymore. It's kind of an old school word as well. But and this doesn't make a lot of sense until you understand the contrast between these two statements, which is what a proverb is. A proverb is actually a contrast between the first statement and then a kind of contradictory or contrasting second statement. And his point right here is the prudent person gives thoughts. He's constantly examining his ways, constantly examining the trends of his life, constantly examining the behaviors, the steps, the pathways that one is going on, because it's a predictor of future. On the other hand, fools don't pay attention to such things. And so the second verse is even a little more to the point. Here's what he says a little bit later in the same chapter. He says, the simple will believe anything. Oh, I've been simple like once in my life, all right? Maybe a few more times than once. A few years ago, I remember one of my neighbors was always trying to get me to go karting with him. That's what we call it, karting. And I'm like, what's karting? I'm a race fan. I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to some fun park and, sitting with all the little kids, doing joy rides around the track. He's like, oh, no, it's way better than that. And I just kind of kept blowing him off, And so, finally one night he came over to my house and he brought this piece of paper with him. And he said, hey, Kurt, look at my lap times. I'm like, lap times? Who does lap times? Where are you going and getting lap times? And he's like, well, yeah, that's what we do when we kart. I'm like, you're actually measuring like how fast you're going? And he's like, yeah. He's like, look who I raced against. He says, Buddy and Eddie. And I'm like, are those your friends? He's like, Buddy Cheever, or Buddy Rice, Eddie Cheever, like Indy 500 champions? I had no idea. I mean, he's like, yeah, this is where they train when they can't have access to tracks. I'm like, when are we going? Tomorrow. I mean, I'm like, sign me up. I thought this was like, just joyriding with the hammer down at the fun park and you never really have any excitement. He's like, oh, no, this is like full driver suit, helmet, training before you go on the track. So, we like 3 days later, we're at the karting facility, and I'm, we're approaching getting ready to pay at the desk, and And, you know, I look up and it says 8-minute races. And I turn to my buddy Dave and I'm like, so how many of these we doing? Like 4, 5, 6? I mean, how? He's like, one. And I'm like, one? You mean I put my plans aside, came out here to do one race? He's like, one. Seriously, one? He's like, one. And you know, and I'm thinking, well, that's ridiculous. I can, you know, 8 minutes, who can't do something? Why are we doing one race? So, you know, we go through the routine, watch the training video, get all suited up. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. I mean, 8 minutes for all of this process, all these steps we're going through. And, you know, we get in the cars, I'm all excited, amped up. You know, they let us go. 8 minutes later, we pull into the pits. You know, it's just exhilarating, right? And if you've never done this, just you know, for anybody that's a race fan, it's just like, this is like a cool, cool deal. So I start pulling my suit off. My suit is sticking to my body, all right? I've worked up a sweat. I pull my helmet off. My head is dripping wet. The crown of my head is all that's dry. And my hands are stuck like this, all right? I'm like shaking, trying to like do my hair, you know, fix my hair. And because you see, I thought, I was very simple. I thought, 8 minutes, you know, race car drivers, they're not athletes. I mean, they just go out there and have fun, right? 8 minutes in a car, wrestling a car in a suit in 85 degree weather. I thought that just by direct effort alone, I'd be really good at this. I'd be able to like go time and time again. What I realized is there are some things in life. I was very simple-minded in this. I thought I could just do it. And I realized that by direct effort alone, I can't necessarily be good at this. And you know what Solomon would have said? He would have said, Kurt, you're stupid. That's ridiculous. He said, you're a fool. That's what Solomon would have said to me. I mean, I'm thinking, 8 minutes. I mean, I'm in reasonably good shape. Solomon says, the simple will believe anything. And then he goes on. He says, but the prudent, there's our word again. He says, but the prudent give thoughts to their steps. Meaning, if you want to be really good at something, you actually have to give thought to how you're going to prepare for things that you can't do by direct effort alone. That word steps is a really important word right there, because steps means that, you know, say I can talk a good game, I can talk about my commitments, but when I put steps to it, I actually put stepping stones or a pathway that helps me do or experience or achieve the things I want to grow in. And so here's why this is so important when it comes to selfishness. Because selfishness is a pathway. You know, if you find yourself regularly, you know, saying things, being selfish, you know, ruining a relationship, getting yourself in relational turmoil because you're always thinking about yourself, that's a pathway. I mean, we say, man, I'm going to try. It's a pathway. You know, we try, but we can't change it by direct effort alone. And so, you know, there's another pathway that's called selflessness. It's the antithesis of selfishness. And selflessness is also a pathway. And I think generally speaking, I think we want to be about bigger things than ourselves. I mean, if your life's like, man, I want to be about, you know, being a blessing to other people. I want to be selfless in my marriage where I think of my spouse first. I want to be in a place where I put my kids first. I want to be in a place where I'm generous, where people generally feel like I'm a blessing. The problem is wanting it, saying I'm going to do it, is not something that's going to change my selfishness by direct effort alone. I can't just will myself to it. I have to do certain things, take certain steps to actually create a new pathway. This is one of the reasons I really believe, I'm increasingly more, the older I get, I believe that one of the most important behaviors of someone who's maturing and growing in the relationship with Christ is someone who is becoming selfless, someone who's putting a physicality to their spirituality, somebody who's serving others beyond themselves, somebody who's saying, hey, it's easy for me to take care of myself, but I'm gonna put myself in a position where I'm going to actually benefit others, where I don't get any other benefit. I'm just going to do this, and I actually grow as a part of that experience through volunteering, through serving. It's a pathway. It's a pathway to being a better spouse, a pathway to being a better parent, a pathway to being a better employee, a better friend, pathway to being a better leader is when I serve and I look for ways to apply my life in ways that are outside of just bringing benefit to myself. And the really cool thing about this is God has actually built this into the system of the church. In fact, 98% of what happens here at Crosspoint happens every week, week in, week out, by volunteers, people who are taking this pathway and serving. And so when we talk about serving and volunteering here at Crosspoint, it's not just because we need people, though we do, because we're growing and we're expanding our ministries even this month. We're expanding some of our ministries. In fact, really cool thing, just this week, you guys have kind of been waiting, hearing pieces. We just closed on the loan for our launch pad this week, Thursday afternoon. Great, great day. Yeah. And This week, they're beginning out on the side. I mean, you'll see bulldozers and dirt being moved out there. Well, listen, this is going to create more and more movement. This is going to create more and more presence for people coming into this place to check out Crosspoint. So we're in a mode where we are expanding and we do need volunteers. And yet one of my roles as a leader is to help us see reality. One of my roles as a leader is to say, here's where we are, here's where we're going, here's what we need to be doing. And so over this next 10 months, really, we're not just going to be doing a physical build across the street, but we're also going to be doing an infrastructure build within. Because, you see, it's more than we're doing more than just building a building. A building's a building. But we're creating an infrastructure so we can continue to be a blessing to people. And one of the ways we do that is through volunteers. And we do this because we come into this place and it impacts us in some place. I see it happen all the time. Somebody's like, something's happened in my life. God's got a hold of my life. I've experienced an immense blessing just being a part of this place. And now I want to turn that around and be a blessing to others. And when that happens, good things happen for other people. And here's the really cool thing. Again, God builds this in. So it's not just that we need volunteers when we talk about it, but the cool part about volunteering and serving is when you do that, when you say, I'm gonna serve, I'm going to volunteer, I'm going to look at a way that I can touch someone else's life, you're actually beginning to become someone else. You're a person who's becoming. You're on a pathway to moving away from selfishness and toward a life of selflessness. Your pathways, your behaviors, your ways, your trends are beginning to look beyond yourself. And so what we're going to do over these next few minutes is not going to be about guilting anyone into doing anything they don't want to do, but I want to give you some very clear, tangible applications, some ways that if you struggle with selfishness, as probably we all do, you can make some direct applications to your life and begin to walk that out in a new way. So today, in about 25 minutes, we're gonna take you on a guided tour over the course of this building where we have environments going on. All right, and so you're gonna go on a guided tour. I could talk about serving. I could talk about here's ways to get connected and begin to develop a pathway of selflessness here. But every adult and student in this room, we're going to take you on a guided tour, and we're just in case you're wondering, service isn't getting over in a couple minutes, all right? It's not like I'm releasing you early. Church is still going on, all right? So for the next 25 minutes, we're putting a physicality to our spirituality. That's what we've been talking about all month long. How is our spirituality actually a physical expression? And so we have some tour guides that are going to enter the room right now. They're going to actually come up the sides of the auditorium. And as they come into place, let me talk about the four kinds of people that are in this room this morning. The first are those of you who are currently serving. All right, there are those of you who serve around here on a regular basis, two times a month. I just want to say, way to go, way to make this place go. It took 191 people to serve our ministries here at Crosspoint last month. That's how we keep track of those numbers. And you make this place go. And so you're going to go on this tour, and I'm excited that you're going to be able to go on this tour because you're going to be a cheerleader for everyone else in your group. You know the ins and outs. You're going to be able to kind of encourage somebody or just be a presence that's supportive of others who are looking for a way to connect. Second group of people in this room are people who want to serve, but they don't know where. And so this tour is going to be really cool for you because you're going to get a chance to have a firsthand look into all of our environments where people can serve. You're going to realize in kids' ministries, it's more than just sitting on a floor with kids. There's tech roles and there's roles that anybody can fill. You're going to take a look at coffee brewing and hospitality and the trailer and band and tech stuff. And hopefully you'll get an idea of maybe a place. It's like speed dating. You get to see it all before you may decide what you want to try. All right? And then the third group of people is people who don't want to serve. And there's various reasons. There's some of us in the room that are just like, I just don't want to serve. And you have your reasons. You kind of know why, or maybe you physically can't serve. Maybe you just have always understood church as something I go to as opposed to something I'm a part of. Well, my hope for you on this tour is maybe you'll see something that you could be a part of. Maybe you'll see, like, I could do that. And the fourth group of people is people who are still checking us out. I realize every single week we have guests that come and join us for the first time, for the third time. And listen, I'm excited, probably most excited for you to be on this tour because you get to see firsthand behind the scenes at Crosspoint. There are very few times you get to see what makes this place go, the heartbeat of this place. And hopefully it'll help you kind of make a decision of whether this is a place you want to connect with or not. You're going to kind of hear the passion and the story of how people connect and serve and make good things happen for others as you go on this tour. And you might not be ready to jump in, but you might say, I like what I see. So I'm really excited you're going to have the chance to go on this tour. So a couple things to maximize our experience here this morning. A few details. you're going to need this card. So we're going to raise the house lights, and you need to grab this card and your pen. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to take this stuff and to take everything you brought into the room and take it with you. And you're going to be going on a tour, all right? So you're going to take everything with you out of this room. Next, you are going on a guided tour. So the people on the outside of the room are tour guides, which means you need to stick with them. We're going to give you very specific instructions on who you're going with, who's going to be guiding you. They're going to answer questions. You can ask questions, but try to stick with them because there's a lot of orchestration in keeping this going today. Third, you need to identify if you're somebody who's looking for a place to serve, or if you're somebody who thinks, you know, I don't know if there's a place to serve. As you go on the tour, if you see something that you're just like, you know, I could do that. Anybody could do that. That's how most of our roles are here. Then just circle that. Circle that on the back of your card. It's laid out by zones. It doesn't tie you into it. It's just a reminder for you so that when you get to the end of the tour, if you say, yeah, you know, I want to try a first serve. I want to try something once. I want to begin to take this opportunity of serving and see if God grows me through it. Then you know some of the areas you liked. And then the fourth step is if you choose to do that, then sign up for a first serve. You're going to end at a big party today. It's going to be a big party at the end of service. And so, you know, you're going to have the opportunity right then to sign up to do a first serve any of the next 3 weekends. And just one time. All we're asking you to do is consider it for one time and then see if it's something you would be interested in doing further. And then the fifth step is if you choose to sign up for that, then just go ahead and show up for your first serve. That's kind of an important thing. And it gets you kind of the experience. Now, it's going to be really cool. Some of you have been on these before. We do these twice a year. This is one of the most missional things we do all year because we're connecting people to seeing how God can grow us through serving others. Now, if you're a guest today, I just want to say, if you're a guest and you're just sitting there thinking, oh my word, what did I show up for today? This is church. This is kind of how Crosspoint rolls sometimes. We're very active in what we do. But if you just don't want to go on this tour, let me just say, we don't want you to do something you don't want to do. We can't make you do that, don't want to do that. I will be at the front doors. I'd love to greet you if you want to just dismiss yourself from your group. I hope you'll come back and see us next week. I'll thank you for coming. Otherwise, you can go on the tour and just see what rolls around here. Now, if you're somebody that wants maximum impact, sometimes people are like, man, where do you really need people? Well, it always changes, ebbs and flows, but our kids' environments are about 75% of our serving environments. This is always our greatest need because we have tons and tons of kids. And so if you want to know where you can make maximum impact, pay attention in the kids' environments. We're in those stations.